Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey there, thanks for listening in again to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Amanda here with Tim, and we are so grateful that you guys have been listening to these podcasts all year long and sharing them with your friends and your colleagues, and we're excited to have another great conversation for you to hear today. So Tim, who did you speak with this week?
Had the opportunity and the privilege to speak with a friend in the industry and a giant as an emerging leader here in economic development. He is the president and chief executive officer of Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, Roderick Miller. Roderick has always taken on challenges. He continues to be a visionary leader who his team honors him, his profession honors him. He's a tireless worker for jobs and building relationships in communities that have been hardest hit. Roderick did great work in New Orleans back in his former career and now in Detroit, making economic development an opportunity for all people in that city a reality. And my conversation with him was not only energizing, it was very informative. So sit back, relax, and enjoy hearing from our friend Roderick Miller.
Rod, welcome to the podcast. We're glad to have you, and congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to dive right in, Rod, and put this whole thing in context. What should our listening audience know about Rod Miller?
Well, you should know that I love what I do. I love economic development. I do believe that it's really the best opportunity to confront many of the challenges that we've got globally as well as locally, and that I'm just very honored to be a part of this conversation.
You've recently made a transition to a new organization there in Detroit. Tell us about what you've learned so far as you've transitioned into this new position.
Yeah, so I've been here at the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, which is the city's partner in economic development in Detroit, for about a year. And it's been an interesting transition. There are different flavors in every market in terms of how to navigate politics, how to navigate business, and how to actually achieve success. One of the things I think that I would really harp on is that as economic developers, we have a tendency to focus on kind of the finite skills around business case analysis, real estate development, financing incentives, and those things are absolutely critical to being successful. But I would posture that equally important, or if not more important, is the ability to be principled and have integrity in terms of what values are you committed to as an economic developer? What are the things that you're willing to fall on your sword about? When's the right time to fight? When's the right time to hold them? When's the right time to fold them? How to build strategic relationships? Those are things that I think are actually even more important than one's core economic development skills. And of course, that's true in Detroit and pretty much any major city that one may be working in.
Yeah, I heard, and I think maybe we were in the same room when it was said by Ron that economic development has moved from a science to an art. And increasingly, we need artists who can navigate all those nuances in community. I think you're spot on right there.
That's right. I mean, it's definitely moved from a science to an art. I think the science part of it will always be there, and that's study, that's training, that's experience, and that's fine. But the art is actually where a lot of the fun is. The art is in how do you build strategic relationships with unions? How do you build strategic relationships with community groups? How do you work with politicians and groups that have seemingly disparate interests? How do you actually bring them together and say, actually, there is overlap, there is commonality, and how can we move a shared agenda forward?
Absolutely. Let's go back to the beginning so people kind of understand the context of how you came into this work. How did you begin your career? Did economic development come find you, or did you find it?
You know, it was a little bit of both. You know, I'd always been interested in questions of business and development and policies. My undergraduate degree is in international business. I had a master's degree in finance that I did as a Fulbright scholar in Mexico, and I also had a graduate degree in public policy that I had done at Harvard. And I was working in the private sector doing management consulting and decided I wanted to try something different and moved to Phoenix, Arizona with no job and just trying to figure out, I want to do something different. I wasn't fulfilled and stumbled upon an opportunity in economic development and haven't looked back. And that was 2004. So economic development's been great for me and my family. And each place where I've done economic development, I've learned new skills and learned different things.
Tell us about the team that you're building there in Detroit. Obviously, the work is important all across Michigan. You're coming in to accomplish several tasks. How is the team you're building? Tell us about your thought process as you're looking for talent in economic development.
So I will say this, and I firmly believe that a leader is only as good as their team. And so I've always been keenly focused on finding incredibly talented people, but not just talented in terms of, you know, their technical abilities, but people that have political savvy, that have experience, and that have a commitment and integrity, and that have an undying work ethic. So I've really focused on that. Our scope is fairly broad at the BGC, so we're responsible not only for the corporate attraction and visitor retention expansion, but we've also got a portfolio of real estate that we manage. We've got a construction management team. And we're responsible for, of course, marketing the city. So we've got all of those services. And what I've been doing is I've been really focusing on making sure that our senior team is one that understands how to go out and get things done, that they're incredibly experienced. So we've hired a new head of business development, a guy by the name of Kenneth Chapa, who has about 15 years of economic development experience, who was formerly in Arizona as a senior vice president of the Arizona Commerce Authority, as well as with the city of Mesa, was involved in bringing Apple there. We've got a gentleman by the name of Mahdi Toure, who's been with us just about a month now. Mahdi was a former real estate developer in Washington, D.C. He was also aide to Mayor Williams, and we actually plucked him away from the GSA, the General Services Administration, the federal government, where he was responsible for the federal government's portfolio in Washington, Virginia, and Maryland. So, you know, we're really focused on bringing top-notch talent that understands economic development and understands how to get things accomplished, but also that's incredibly innovative and has a lot of energy to put behind this work.
No question about it. Let me ask you another question kind of on your personal leadership approach. How do you as an individual leader define success? And then I want to ask the same question for the organization that you lead.
So as an individual leader, I define success in a few ways. One of the things that I firmly believe is that you have to focus on people first. And that's whether it's talking about the way I look at building an economy or how I build my team. I think there are some values that they have to be made public. These are the things that I believe as a leader. And if you're a part of my team, I need to know whether or not you can buy into that vision and buy into those values. And the same is true of building an economy. So one of the things is, when I first started at the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation and I talked to a lot of people around town, they pretty much said, oh, you're the group that does major projects in the downtown area of Detroit, and you're really focused on big business. And our logo at the time said DGC, and it had a picture of the downtown skyline, and under it said, we're all business. And I said, this is not right. Economic development is not just about business. Economic development is about building strong communities. And strong communities take people and they take businesses, and it's an amalgamation of a variety of things. So in my leadership style, I've really been focusing on what do you know about a place when it's successful? What are the things that you feel, and what do the indicators say? And so we're moving in the right direction there. And success for me as an individual is really having people buy into our work as an organization and support it. Success for us as an organization is bringing more jobs, more investment to the city, but also across the city and for everybody.
That's right. And I know you're doing great work with that. And in a year's time, you're already making great progress. The other side of success is, of course, those times where you don't quite meet the goals you set out. Talk to us about a failure in your career and maybe what you learned about yourself, what you learned about economic development during that failure.
So there are many failures. Which failure do I want to talk about? I'll start this, and then I'll get a little bit more specific. In general, one of the things is when I was living in Phoenix, there were a variety of initiatives that we undertook. And one that was kind of one of the most interesting one was we called it the High Wage Health Care Act, something of that nature. And I had crafted this incentive and I had crafted this program, and I thought it made a lot of sense. And the program essentially outlined that a lot of the incentives that were being given in the state actually were putting people on the welfare rolls or not pulling people out of poverty. They weren't pulling people out of poverty because the caliber of the job was not high enough that they would actually be able to sustain themselves. And so through this legislation, the goal was to really actually make sure that we incentivized quality jobs, not just jobs, and incentivize jobs and investment that would actually allow people to be somewhat self-sufficient in terms of moving forward. And so it was great legislation. We figured out all of the bells and whistles and how it would work with our pipeline. And we ran really hard towards the legislature and tried to figure out how to make it happen. It didn't happen.
And there were a few things that I learned. One is that sometimes you lose the battle and you can win the war, because years later, we brought that incentive back with a little bit different packaging on it around a specific industry sector, and we were able to be successful. Another one of the lessons, though, is that you've got to always approach these issues from a 360 perspective. When I think about the attack on the, or not necessarily the attack, but the lack of success of the prior incentive that was in place, there were a lot of people who had bought into that incentive, who had been a part of the sausage making to get to that point. So in our approach, I don't know that we were as thoughtful as we could about how do we allow these folks who were part of this failed incentive to save face and be successful moving forward. And I think, you know, that was a very valuable lesson. So to the perspective of the policymaker, the perspective of the individuals that would be impacted by the jobs that would be brought, as well as just kind of the general kind of perspectives and perceptions about what this incentive would mean. And I think every time we approach a major issue in economic development, we really have to have that 360 approach.
Wow. Great insights, Rod. Here's the last question for you. I'm going to get you out of here on this one. If you had a room full of economic developers and you were having a conversation with them, and someone raised their hand and said, what's the most important things communities and economic developers can do or focus on to be successful in this environment, of which you've got fresh eyes, right? A year ago, you came into a new position and started to prioritize. What's the most important thing communities and economic developers can do today?
One is build relationships. You have to talk to people, whether they're politicians, whether they're community members, whether they're fellow economic developers, business leaders. You've got to talk to the people on the ground and really understand the different perspectives. That will give you as an economic developer the context in which to do research, the context in which to structure incentives and structure deals, give you the insights into what the opportunities really are. And so I would say the number one thing that all economic developers must do in order to be successful is build relationships on the ground where you are and relationships outside of the market. If you can tie your local market to opportunities nationally and internationally, you will be successful.
Rod, you've been a lightning bolt for not only our industry, but you've come into the state of Michigan and began great work. Your work before precedes you, and I just thank you for your time today, for all of your efforts, for who you are, not only as an economic developer, but as a leader and a person. I congratulate you on North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.